They sound pretty good, a cappella. You know what I'm saying? Let's bow our heads. Now, dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you so very much for your oneness. Thank you so much for your unity. Thank you so much for your strength. Thank you so much for your power, your healing, your deliverance. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. And as we move forward this message, Lord, we ask you to open up our minds and hearts so we be more receptive of who you are and what you have for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's so nice to see Rita. She had surgery, so she's here today. Rita McKenzie, congratulations. Hey, God is good. God is good. Congratulations on a successful surgery. God is good. I just remind everyone, if you're having surgery or you're in the hospital or anything, the only way I can get there, if you let Brittany know. So you got to let Brittany know in the office. If you let Brittany know, I promise you I'll be there. Right? But make sure Brittany get the message. Don't tell me. I'm the worst person to tell. Tell Brittany. If you tell me, I'm going to forget. I already know I'm going to forget. So, because I have so many things going on. I'm going to be before you all very, very short. But I think it's a very, very powerful message. So we talked about the importance of the oneness, right? And so the title of the message is Entanglement, God's Master Plan. So a lot of times when we hear the word entanglement, we go back, man, like in 2000, when Jada Pinkett at the Red Table, you know, had this experience with, you know, this entanglement that created all this problem, and with her significant other on the side when she was married to Will Smith. But entanglement is really when... Wow, it was such a powerful thing. I don't know the guy's name, but it kind of got Will Smith a little upset and surprised him, right? Right. But I think God's master plan was really about entanglement. I really will. I really think it is. I think it's about us understanding the uniqueness of us being really one and all tied together. And we understand it. I was in Dr. Ariadne's class this morning, and they read a note about what was happening in one of the countries and how the community was killing people and innocent people lost their lives because they were killing Christians. Muslims were killing Christians. Doesn't matter whether it's Muslims or whoever. The issue was that we don't value each other like God intended for us to value each other. And because sometimes religion has a tendency, man, to divide us and conquer us, right? When God really called for us to be unified. Now, it's interesting that the devil has so much power that he can divide us when God has all the power to unify us. And so we have a tendency, even in our faith-based organizations, tend to lean toward a division rather than unity, right? And it's important for us to understand the gift of God. And I think his master plan was for all of us really to work together as one and really and express, and the glue that will hold us all together is love, right? And that's so important, right? In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us, right? And they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created the human being in his own image, right? In the image of God, he created them male and female. All right, so God had a master plan for both male and female. So it's important to understand that God really, really, really intended for us to be unified. He really intended for us to be an expression of him in everything we do. And there's so many examples out there, and he tried to do it throughout nature and all that. But we have a tendency to, get sidebarred by things that's going on in life. And then we start to look at people different because we were raised in different communities and different cultures. And we have a tendency, we get all these different ideologies. We read all this stuff. And the things we read create us, cause us to look at people differently. And then we don't see people like we see us. So we don't value people like we value ourselves, right? When we all created in God's image, in God's likeness, right? And God even sent Christ, when he sent Christ into the earth, and he empowered Christ with his spirit to show us the uniqueness of being unified and what we could do if we really was connected to him and understand and believe that we was connected to him. Because a lot of us move around and we say we have faith in God, but our action does not show that. right? I actually show something different the way we treat people and the way we come into church and we judge people based on what they wear, what they, how they look. And so I was talking to a young lady the other day, and she says that Dr. Abiade had asked a question about, do you know who you are? And she said, well, you know, I really don't know who I am. And I said, yes, you do, right? And I was telling the young lady, I said, we know who we are, right? So we always know who we are, right? That's important. We know who we are. Here's the problem. We're so afraid of how you're going to judge us. So I'm never transparent because if I really show you who I am, I'm afraid that you may look at me different. You won't appreciate who I am. You only appreciate who I am if I wear a mask. So as long as I fake like I'm somebody else, right, and then you appreciate me more, so I keep on faking it, telling you I'm somebody else when I'm really not that person, right, because I'm afraid that you may judge me different when in reality we're pretty much the same. It's not a lot of difference between us. And if you peel us back, you'll see there's not a whole lot of difference. A lot of us think we're smarter than someone else, but we're not that much smarter than anyone else. If you know anything about biology and chemistry and all this kind of stuff, we're pretty much the same thing. See what I'm saying? We all this bundle of energy, right? So we all have these attributes, man, that we all have that make us all unique in the sense that we all like God, right? And so because he created us in his image. In his likeness. And so if I understand that and I understand him and he's about loving and he's about us being like him, he wants us all to be intertwined together. And so I was studying, my sister called me one day. She said, I heard this message about the redwood tree, right? And the uniqueness of the redwood tree. So I started studying the redwood tree. And I said, man, that's an interesting tree, right? Because the redwood tree is one of some of the tallest trees in the world, right? But the beauty of the redwood tree is that the roots of the tree grows very shallow, right? But the uniqueness of the tree that gives it strength because it over any kind of storm, we don't care, hurricanes, tsunami, whatever, it does not do much damage to the redwood tree because the redwood tree roots spread out about 100 feet. Right? Or 100 miles. They just go. And they got roots as big as my body. And so the roots intertwine together. So they get their strength by connecting together. So the trees find other trees and they get connected. And then they become stronger and stronger and stronger. So when a storm comes in their life, right, the tree may lean, but it won't fall. Right? So just imagine us being entangled so much so when a storm hits your life, right? You don't fall because I'm there to help support you. Right? Because we all going to have storms in our life. Right? But God intended for us all to work together. Now, I know I told you guys last week about the uniqueness of one. Now, I told you there's nobody, I don't care how gifted, how talented you are, I don't care how smart you are, I don't care how brilliant you are, no one in this world, not in this world, right, does anything by themselves. Everybody in this world has to have someone else. God designed it in such a way that we were entangled. He made it so that no one could walk around and say they're the one. Now, you may brag about you're the one. You may have created a company. You may have bought your own home. You may have started your own business and think you're the one. But I promise you, you did nothing in this world without everyone else that God put in your path to connect you. Some people connect you and you didn't even know you was connected to them. Some people are making decisions about your life. You don't even know they're making decisions, right? Because we're all entangled because that's God's master plan. God never wanted anybody to go around and say, I'm the one. You know, I'm God. I can do this. I don't need you. And sometimes we do it. Sometimes we get braggadocious and egotistical and say, well, I don't need you. Right? You know, I can do this. No, you can't. You can't do it. If you can, you would. But you can't. There's nothing you can do in this world without someone else. All right? I want you to understand that, right? You can't even eat without someone else. All right? You can't even use the bathroom without someone. You can't do nothing without someone else. We all are intertangled together. Everybody say entangled. So God intended for us to be together and unified because that's what life's all about. Life is about us being one. Everybody say one. It's important. Now, I remember when I was a kid, growing up, it was very challenging, right? And it was very challenging because people would always say, "Man, you can't walk together except you agree." Right? Be careful who you hang with, because you end up doing what they do. I can tell who you are by the company you keep. And I'm like, all that kind of stuff. I thought it was crazy, but I knew after I started studying, I said, "Man, that's God's plan. That's a master plan. That's about entanglement, right?" So in Genesis, in chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostril, and then the man became a living person," right? So God breathed the power of him in humanity, right? And when he breathed the humanity, the life in humanity, then humanity became a living soul. Now, we don't have a corner on the market because all of us need the breath of God. All of us has to have the breath of God. In the event that you don't have it, right, you get expired, right? That's important, right? So when he did it, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he wanted, right? Even when the fall took place, he devised a plan to bring us back into unity with him. He never wanted us to be disconnected. He always wanted us to be connected, right? And that's important for us to understand. So when we think about what happened, there's a thing, right, that I try to get people to understand is that there are prodigies in the world. There are people in the world that's absolutely amazing, right? And we said, man, where did they get that from? They just gifted, right? God gifted them with something, but whatever he give you is never just for you. And I don't care how good you are, you can be the greatest prodigy in the world, somebody has to come along and give you some instructions, right? Now, and when they give you an instruction, man, you may get really, really good at it, right? And all of us like that. You ever think about this? Sometimes something can happen on this side of the world, and on the other side of the world, the same thing is happening somewhere else, right? It's because things are not that far, it's not that different, right? The reason why is because God is everywhere, and everything was created by him, right? And so there's some research out there that says now that you don't even hold information inside your body. It's held in the quantum field. It's in the atmosphere. I know that's far-fetched. But think about this here. Raise your hand if you pray. So when you pray, what you're doing is you're going into the field, talking to a mighty God, and asking him to intervene on behalf of you or someone else. And you want to connect with him, right, through your prayers, right? And then if you talk, whatever, so you got what you call electronic or electromagnetic field around all of us. We have this electronic electromagnetic field around us. It extends about 5 feet around us. All of us have it. So you have this field. So now the latest research says that you don't retain any information. The information is really in the field, right? And in the event that you come up with an idea, that idea is just not yours. It belongs to everybody. And everybody can access it, right? And if God give you an idea and you pull it out the app, you think it's yours, and you read something somewhere and somebody have already done it, right? Because it's in the atmosphere for everybody. That's why you can't pray. My sister, I'm going live, so she's going to get me, Maggie, right? So I was telling my sister, Kim, all the time, because she's such a great cook, and I've been trying to get her recipes, right? And she won't give them to me. I said, God gave them to you to get them me. Right? They're not just for you, right? She said, well, yeah, he ain't told me, so she won't give them to me, right? Right? She called me the other day because she got this great idea she's about to launch. It's amazing, man. She said, oh, my God, I was just thinking about this here, and I'm putting this thing together, and I got this creative package and all this here. And I said, interesting. Then I was studying, and I came across this, right? It's a sensory motor cell. It's called the mirror neuron. Everybody said the mirror? Neuron. It's a type of sensory motor cell located in the brain that is activated when an individual performs an action. Everybody say, everybody have it. Right? It says, watch this here. Performs an action. This is important. Don't forget this now, right? Please don't forget this. Or observe another individual performing the same action, right? Thus, the neuron mirrors the other's action, right? Now, let me break it down so it's super simple, right? I can see you do something. If I have a desire to do it, right, I got a sensory neuron. It's called the mirror neuron that can make me see it and be able to do what you did. And let me say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, right? It sounds crazy. You know, people, you can't. But if you have a desire to do it and you see somebody else do it, you can do it. Your mirror neuron doesn't even know whether you did it or you observed it, right? And now, this will get you right here. It said, be careful. You hanging around those boys, you acting just like them because your mirror neuron will see the behavior, and it'll mirror the behavior, right? Right. Now, listen, this is a God. Everybody says it's a God thing, right? This didn't just come out of the sky. God put that in our system. God put the mirror neuron in our system. Now, here's the thing about it. If you get, now be careful. I'm talking to the people that mess up. Be careful if you get entangled with a person physically, because you can disconnect physically and still be entangled energetically. Right? And that's why if I ask you right now, what was his name? 40 years ago, you can tell his name and remember, even though y'all disconnected. Painful or exciting. Because those mirror neurons, right? So it's important to understand there's something about God that's so unique that it affects all of us. Now, here's the thing. The beauty of it is, I realize that we're all the same because we were all created in God's image. Now, I know we talked about Christ and what he did for us at Calvary, and I said this over and over and over. And, oh, God, dog, I forgot the camera, right? I keep moving for the camera. My fault. Right now, that camera needs to move with me. Right. You know, the technology coming. The mirror neuron, we got to look at it. So, all right, now, so, listen, it's so, let me get through this for a second. I'm going to come back to that before I forget the thought. Thoughts are language of the brain, and feelings are language of the heart. Right? This is important. Thoughts are electric, and your heart is magnetic. And we got what you call electromagnetic field around us. If I can think it, if I can feel it, I can pull it. Right? All of us have it. All of us have it. So all you guys are in each other's space in your electronic field, right? It's not our field. It's God's field. Now, I know it's kind of deep. It's science, right? It's science, right? But I want you to think about this. If you pray, do you believe it? Do you believe? But when Garth called me this week, he called me and I answered the phone, right? And when I answered the phone, he said, are you going to be in service on Sunday? And are you preaching? I said, yes. He said, well, we want to come and visit and take you out to eat. I said, I'm really going to be there preaching now because I get a free meal, right? But the thing is, his voice traveled and got to me. And I heard it. How did it get from where he was to where I was? Right? It's something in this magnetic field. It's some kind of energy. It's a frequency. It's something that's traveling, right? Now, remember, when we pray to God, is the information getting to him? Is the information getting to God? And how is it getting to him? All right? But do we really believe it when we say it? Or are we just talking about it? Right, but hold on, here's a question. Somebody said, God don't hear a sinner's prayer. I said, well, how do you get saved then? If he don't hear you, how do you get saved? You got to say, God, I'm sorry. He said, well, I'm not listening to you because you ain't saved yet. Your mama needs to tell me you're sorry. He said, no, because this thing is designed for all of us. He said, we're all connected. So you can't think you better than anybody else because wherever, when you was at the bottom of the barrel, right, and you didn't know your head from your toe, and you was praying to God, said, God, if you can just deliver me this time. The same person that was in church speaking in tongues, he was hearing them and you at the same time. Right? Because God is everywhere all the time. And the energy and the frequency that's going, he's connected to it everywhere. But here's the thing. The thing is, I remember I used to go to the party. Me and Johnny used to go to the party, and I could walk in the party. It can be dead, and I want to say pinchable, but I can't say it. But I said, listen, I would get there, and I would, oh, get that thing going. And I was like, and the whole party, listen, and hey, Kurt laughing, because the party was, it was on and popping, right? Listen, the thing is, I took the energy to the party. And the energy connected. I've been in church. This ain't just happened at the party. I've been in church, right? It don't happen much, you know, kingdom, because, you know, we the evangelical covenant. So we're a little different. But when I was in the Church of God in Christ, they would shout over here, and then they start shouting over here. Right? They start, they said, watch you, because that thing like a frog, it'll jump on you. And all of a sudden, man, I remember one time church was going on, and somebody said, hey, Sister Dura said, I said, go ahead, girl, with your bad self, right? So that thing will jump on you, right? The beauty of it is that you felt it, and I felt it, right? And the energy was accessible to all of us. The reason why, because all of us have it. That's why when people tell you you have it and you don't, listen, they're clueless. They're clueless because the uniqueness of God, he's a what? A spirit. Everybody say he's a spirit. If he's a spirit, man, he's this really super, super energy. He's like beyond, right? But if you want to worship him, you got to worship him in spirit and in truth. I mean, I got to be where? I got to know. I got to believe it, right? We talk about it, but we don't really believe it. When you talk about it, you understand how powerful it is. How powerful the spirit is. Listen, you can speak life into people. That's what I said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You can, listen, all he has to do is say it. All you have to do is speak it, right? Not just me, right? That's why if you're at the bottom of the barrel, right? And if you can't say nothing, they got you bound. All you have to do is think about him. If I can just think of the goodness of Jesus, and all that he's done for me. Listen, the handcuffs will come out just by thinking about it. You don't believe me? He said, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. If whatsoever man thinking. You got me so bound up, I don't know which, but if I can just think about the goodness of Jesus, I can think about him and the energy will come. And he may, listen, you may not release me physically, but somebody said, listen, I'm good now, because mentally I'll be all right. And if I can get right mentally, I'll be all right physically, right? And then listen, that doesn't just apply to me. That apply to all of us, because Jesus did some work for all of us. Now they said, but some people really say, but you just got to believe. Listen to me, you know, I challenge it, because some of you all, you didn't believe, but somebody else believed for you. And God did it for you. Because he said, listen, I already know, because I knew him before they knew it. Right? The enemy got them so bound up, they don't even know I'm real. But I'm going to show you. That's why some of us, man, we were atheists at one time. We didn't believe in God until God said, let me show you who I am for real. Then he moved in your life. Right? And listen, that's why he said, thinking not strange. Concerning your fire. Because what you think is happening just to you, all we got to do is tell the truth, and it's happened to me. We're not much different, right? And the beauty of it, once we embrace God and pour our life into him and understand who he is, right, can't no devil in hell stop us, right? Because that devil in hell is really inside of me. It's the way I think, right? It's that energy field that I allow to come in and interrupt, right? In the lobby, you know, we got those lamps that's going around the lobby, right? So we had a storm the other day, right? And the storm hit the building, right? And we lost all power, Garth. We lost all the power. And then so, but God let the power come back on. Everywhere except the lobby. Right? So the lobby, the lights wouldn't come on in the lobby. Nowhere, right? We hit every switch. We did everything. We hit all the electric stuff. We couldn't find it. I know some of y'all think, yeah, you just got to hit the breaker switch. We hit the breakers too, right? We did it all, right? And I'm like, man, this is it. I don't understand this. This don't make sense, right? What's going on? But that's what happens sometime in our life, right? Sometimes something happened, and it just, boom, and we just lose power, right? And then I said, oh, my God. And he said, listen, go get some lamps, right? Every night, he said, get a couple of lamps. He said, and turn the light on. And when they walk in, they said, Jesus changes everything, right? So sometimes when the power go off in your life, you can say, he want to remind you that Jesus changes everything. So sometimes you may have a break in your life, right? It seems like everything else going on, you get a break in your life. All of us may get a break in our life. All of us. None of us are exempt. We'll have a break in our life. But Jesus changes everything. He's the answer to it all. Don't think you unique. All of us have the same issues. Some of us think we more morally. I remember I was listening to a pastor, and he was saying, he said, when you hear a person testify, you ever somebody says, I'm going to tell you something, I don't mess with women. One thing I do, you know, I don't do this here. He said, when you hear somebody send a testimony like that, he's because God just delivered them from them because they was hooked on it, right? But they don't get their testimony until they delivered. The stuff they ain't delivered from them, they don't testify about, right? Right? And watch this. But some of the things we go through, like I was telling the young lady, I said, if we could really be who we are in God, we can really get delivered. Because we'll realize that we're all the same. And God knew you before you knew you. And he just waiting for you to be inauthentic. I mean, be authentic, not inauthentic. He said, you all are inauthentic, and you walk around lying, making people think you're something else when you really was created in my image, and I know you got problems. All of you all have problems. And if you understand this here, he said, a power is in trusting me. He said, a power is in believing in me. He said, power understand that we're one. He said, now, once you understand it, this is the beauty of it. This is the beauty of the wonder. This is the entanglement. He said, once you realize that we all entangle and we all need each other and we like the roots on the redwood tree, all right, oh, he said, I'm the vine. He said, you can't get away without. He said, once you realize it, he said, then you get to see the power that changes the world. He said, when you listen, with two or three touching the green, but what if all of us touched and agree? If he, listen, what if all those who really claim to be believers really touched and agree? Right? They said, well, you know, this certain believer, I said, the problem is we have these denominational beliefs. What if we really believe that God loves them all? And so whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter. That's between you and God. And my job is to really represent God. Right? And how you represent God? For God so the world, right? So if I just love the world like God loved the world, because he knew we were broken. What if you knew everybody was broken, you still loved them anyway? Right? Just like you broken. And you want somebody to love you. Right? Because the makeup don't hide who you are to God. The suit don't hide who you are to God. Right? He said, we are one. He said, the power is in the oneness. Everybody say the power is in the oneness. Right now, listen to this. I'm going to close this thing out early today, right? I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. This is Jesus talking. He says, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name. He's trying to, listen. And I would do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes. Ask me for anything in my name. He said, and I'll do it. Right? Now, here's the beauty. When we read John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Right? When you get down to the 14th verse of that first chapter, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Right? So I always say that Jesus was born of Mary. Right? And the power of God came over him. And he was so magnificent that he was willing to give up his life for all of us. Right? He said, and that same power that was in Christ is also in you. The same power. He said, no, it's not. I'm telling you, the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead raised up some of you all. Some of you all was dead in your sins. Some of you all been resurrected, and you know you've been resurrected. Now, you may not be everything you ought to be, but you're sure not what you used to be. And sanctification is a process. Everybody says it's a process. It's a process. That don't mean I'm good all the way. There's some other things that I'm working on. He delivered me from this, and I'm so excited about it. So since he delivered me, I'm not going to talk about you because you're still stuck in it. I'm just going to pray for you because we're one. I was at the rescue mission. I was preaching, and I told the guy, I said, I know people don't like you when you give your friend a cigarette. They said, no, that's a sin. I said, the problem is that you knew how I felt to be out there fiending for the cigarette. And you was out there, and you hustling, you cutting grass to get it, and you saw that guy over there, and you said, man, listen, I can't let him suffer like this. And you felt this pain. What if you, right, quit being so self-righteous and feel the pain of what God delivered you from is in somebody else's life? Instead of you judging them, right, why don't you pray for them? Right? Why don't you pray that God delivered them like he delivered you? Because somebody thought you wasn't going to get delivered. But God knew he was going to deliver you. And he didn't deliver you for you. He delivered you because we all entangled. He said, listen, you are the ones going to be my hands and feet in the earth. You're going to work on my behalf. I'm going to work in the earth through you. So I want to use your body to be me. I want to represent the world through you. Would you allow me to use you to represent the world? Right? Present the world, present me to the world. He said, I want to be the world's best friend. I want to be the world's father. They don't even know who I am, but you know, because I delivered you. Right? He said, so when you see it in somebody else, you ought to be shouting. You ought to be shouting. Ooh, I can't wait to get, listen, we don't do it no more, Dr. Abbott. We used to give testimony service. Right? The power of a testimony service was, they quit doing it because people started giving telemonies, right? But the power of a testimony is what God can do for you. Right? God delivered me, and if he did it for me, let me tell you, he could do it for you. Right? The reason why he could do it for you, because he did it for me. Right? So now I'm really shouting, and I'm really excited, because what he did for me, I know he can do it for you. Girl, I'm telling you, here's the thing. This is a kicker. We don't want to do it, but if I come alongside you, and I love the hell out of you, right. Now listen to me. Now listen, I ain't talking about the cuss word. I'm talking about the hell that's in your life that the devil think he got a hold of you, and I just love you through it. I know you're going through it, but I'm going to love you through it, right? Man, listen, there's no better way to get somebody delivered than God using you as an instrument in their life. Right? And since you know better than anybody else that he can deliver and what they're going through, you know, You know what God did for you, right? Why don't you be Jesus with skin on it? Why don't you, instead of talking about him, be about it? Since we all in the tank, that's his master plan. His plan is, listen, everything, I gave you the gifts. Woo, I'm closing. I gave you the gift for the edifying of the body. I didn't give you no gift so you can just preach, Pastor Durin. You're so good, high and mighty. I gave you a gift so you can edify the body, so you can help deliver. Right? Because some people would never see God except through you. Right? And the way you're going to express it is through love. If you want to get anybody delivered, love them. Now, you may not like it because they're going to keep coming back. But the reason why they're coming back to you, because they feel so good about who they are. I don't care. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. You think that, I promise you, they want to hear from you. Because that's God's master plan. That's why the mirror neuron is so important. He says, so when I see it, right, I see the action, I see you doing good, I want to mirror it. I want to see the power of God in your life, and my mirror neuron start clicking. And I said, ooh, I want to be just, if God can do it for them, I know he can do it. So now I can see it done. If I hang around long enough, I'm going to be able to mirror it. And now all of a sudden, I started looking different. Some of y'all even started acting different. Some of y'all even try to walk like them. You know, you try to talk like them. You want to use the same because your mirror neurons are clear. He said, oh, I feel it now. Right? Everybody said, God loves all of us because he created us in his image. Give the Lord a hand clap. I think the thing that's so challenging is that we don't want to accept the gift that God has given us, which is Christ himself. Christ, the spirit of Christ resides in us. It's the spirit that transforms us. I want to offer you all the greatest gift that you can ever get. It will literally change your life. Jesus Christ is the answer to everything. He literally changes your life, right? Once he transformed you from the inside out, it's not about money, it's about love. You can feel it because when you feel his presence, you don't care about material things anymore because they come and go. You start to care about people. That's when you know we're on the right track, when I care about people, so now I don't hurt nobody. I just love him. The only way you can do it is you got to have a relationship with God himself. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. So we can have direct access to the Father. It's wide open. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you don't understand who God is, and you don't understand the Spirit, I want to give you an opportunity to accept him today. Accept the power of God into your life so he can transform your life. Let him be the Lord of your life. Let him be the one that makes the difference. Right? Not only in your life, but in the life of your family, in the life of your co-workers. Because when you change, they change. When you change, the world changes. You have the ability to change your world by embracing Christ. Everybody stand to your feet. If you don't have a church home, I want to give you an opportunity to be a part of Kingdom Embassy family. Next Sunday, we're going to have our new members class. Next Sunday, you can join. You'll be a part of this church. You want to come to our new members class to learn more about our church and become a member of our church. A lot of you have been coming. So I want to give you an opportunity next week to come. We're going to serve you dinner and all that. So if you want to be a part of the church, I want to give you an opportunity to come. Trina and the team will be here to take your name. But if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want God in your life, you want God to be the center of your life, you're going through hell, and you want to be part of a community that embraces and loves you, today is the day. Can I have my prayer warriors come forward, please, for those who are willing to pray for the people? Lord, as we leave this place, we never ever want to leave your presence. We ask you to be with us. Thank you for making us all unified in you. Lord, the enemy tried to distract us, but we know you are our unifier. So we pray that you be with us as we go into this holiday season, as we travel. We ask you to be with us. Let us always represent our family gatherings. When we at home, Lord, let us represent you in love. And as we leave this place, your protection is so needed, and so we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is open for those who like prayer. Otherwise, you can see yourself dismissed.